The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. All right, good morning to you. And this morning, as we've heard, we are looking at restoring movement. You know, we looked at restoring sight and restoring sound, and today we'll be looking at restoring movement. We take our text from Luke 5:17 to 26. On one of the days while Jesus was teaching, some proud religious law keepers, everyone say proud religious law keepers, what a combination, and teachers of the law were sitting by him. They had come from every town in the countries of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. Some men took a man who was not able to move. His movement was zero. He was not able to move. Everyone who is struggling with spiritual movement, with mental movement, with physical movement, God will restore movement to you in the mighty name of Jesus. He was carried on a bed. They looked for a way to take the man into the house where Jesus was, but they could not find a way to take him in because of so many people. They made a hole in the roof over where Jesus stood. Then they let the bed with the sick man on it down before Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Oof. The teachers of the law and the proud religious law keepers thought to themselves, "Who is this man who speaks as if he is God? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Jesus knew what they were thinking. He said to them, "Why do you think this way in your heart? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? So that you may know that the Son of Man has the right and the power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who could not move his body, "I say to you, get up, take your bed, and go to your home." And at once the sick man got up in front of them. He took up his bed and went to his home, thanking God. All those who were there were surprised and gave thanks to God, saying, "We have seen very special things today." Hallelujah. It's interesting that the proud religious leaders, as the Bible calls them, stood by Jesus. I mean, if you think about it, what do they want to learn from Jesus? Or do they want to find occasion against Jesus? Sometimes we have people that are by us. So we shouldn't mistake everyone by us to be with us. It's not everyone that is by us that is actually with us. But the truth is that they are more with us than against us. So we shouldn't worry much about those that are against us. Why? Because they are more with us. I mean, Elijah said to the young man, that they are more with us than against us. And we see here that by the time Jesus was done with this man, everybody said, we have seen very special things today. By the time God is done restoring you, by the time God is done with you, everybody will say, we have seen something special in this life in the name of Jesus. The KJV said, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. By the time God is done with you, everyone around you will be amazed and they will glorify God and they will be filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. I like the way the NLT puts it. It says, everyone was gripped with great wonder. Everyone in your life will be gripped with great wonder and awe and praise God. Your life will lead people to praise God in the name of Jesus, exclaiming, we have seen amazing things in the life of this man. We have seen amazing things today. That is your story in the name of Jesus. So a few things stood out for us in this text of restoring movement. The first thing is that Jesus addresses the deeper need of the man first. So we need to address deeper needs first. Many times when Jesus would say, get up, take up your bed and walk, there are so many things that have been cascaded in that instruction. In the case of this man, Jesus broke it down. Jesus said, your sins are forgiving you. So Jesus addressed the deeper cause of the situation. And sometimes we want to toy on things at the surface, but God wants you to go to the root cause of the situation. You look at the circumstance and we are just tinkering at the surface, but God wants you to go to the root cause of the situation. So before healing him, Jesus took care of his sins. Before healing him, Jesus took care of the man's sin. You see, sin is a challenge to man. The origin of sin, as we know, I mean, you must have heard the story of Adam and Eve. And God said, don't do this. And they did it. Sinning is disobedience to God. That's just what it is. It is disobedience to God. And because Adam sinned, sin in parents becomes iniquity in children. So that's why if you're a parent, you have to deal with sins that are besetting you. Otherwise, those sins will become iniquity in your children. So what does that mean? It means that if you are dealing with anger, for instance, and you don't triumph, you don't deal with it, you don't crucify it in your children, it's not going to be. Anger is an event, right, in the life of the parent. In the life of the children, it becomes iniquity, it's programmed into them. So it becomes something that is woven into them. If it is lust you are dealing with, if you don't deal with it, it becomes iniquity in the children. So this man obviously had sin manifesting in his life. And Jesus went straight to the heart of it. And he said, your sins are forgiven. And the hypocrites immediately took exception. But they took exception in their hearts. Who is this guy? Who does he think he is? You know, many times, people will look at you and say, who is she? Why does she think she's cute? You know, don't mind them, they're just jealous. You know, they say, oh, who is he? Who does he think he is? Why does he really think he's anointed? Yes, you're anointed. You know, why is he so confident? Because God is your father, you know. Why is she so pretty? Because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, people will whiff you. You know, people will whiff you. And sometimes when you look at Jesus doing amazing things, you will expect that people will be excited. But people are just, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? And Jesus answered them. Hypocrisy is a big thing when we pretend. And the pretense here is that if this was the man or the Pharisee or their children or their family, they would want Jesus to heal. Now, Jesus is trying to heal someone else and they are getting legalistic with him. They are, who is he? Who is this guy? Who is he? And the problem with hypocrisy, like we said with sin, is that it becomes something else in children. So that is why if you're a parent and you're a hypocrite, your children are going to, they're going to hate God. That's why parents are struggling to make children want to serve God. Why? Because children, they can smell hypocrisy from a distance. In fact, someone says, and I quote, that children find it difficult to listen to adults, but they never have any difficulty imitating them. I mean, this is so profound. Children find it difficult to listen to adults when they get to, particularly the teenagers, but they never have any difficulty imitating them. So you cannot say to your child, do as I say, don't do as I do. They are going to do exactly as you do. So Jesus went straight to the heart of this man's issue and he said, your sins are forgiving you. And you may be here struggling under the weight and the load of sin. Ah, as you come to God today, your sins are forgiving you in the name of Jesus. Proverbs 14:34 says to us that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So we see that you can't expect to go far in life if you are frolicking with sin. You can't. To any people, he's not a respecter of persons. To any people. You know, if you don't understand the nature of sin, you would say that, why would God, you know, someone said, I mean, why would God allow sickness on earth, you know, if he's a good God? It's bad. Like, it's because we don't understand that God made the heavens and the earth, and he declared it very good, right? Then man sinned. Now, the sin of man broke the world. The world is broken. So people are born into a broken world, and many times a broken body. And that's why we have redemption in Christ, sozo. So through Christ, Jesus, and he alone can say, your sins are forgiven you. And he has empowered the church that whosoever sin you retain is retained, and whosoever sin you remit and forgive is forgiven. So we say, in the name of Jesus, everyone here, laboring under the yoke of sin, your sins are forgiven you, in the mighty name of Jesus. So only through Christ can our sins be wiped away. And Jesus demonstrated something powerful here, that outward healing reflects inner healing. Outward healing reflects inner healing. If you see someone that is healed on the outside, you've seen somebody that has been healed on the inside. If you see someone that is sick on the outside, you see someone that is sick on the inside. If you see someone that is angry on the outside, you see someone that is angry on the inside. If you see someone that is hurtful on the outside, you see someone that is hurting on the inside, because hurting people hurt people. So we see that it starts from inside. So if you see that your neighbor or your friend is always bitter at this person, bitter at that person, bitter at this government, bitter at that government, they are really bitter people. So they are hurting on the inside. Praise the name of the Lord. And Jesus teaches us to address the deeper needs first. So that's the first thing that jumped out at us. The second thing that stood out for us is the need for real friends. I pray that God will bless you with real friends in the name of Jesus. I pray that God will bless you with genuine, real friends in the name of Jesus. So we see in this story that this man's friends, they were committed to him. Now, it's easy to have friends that can be friends with you when you have prospects, when things are going well for you. But when you are immobile and people still stand with you, those are your real friends. Those are your real friends. You know, if you think that, oh, you're doing well, you're making good money, I have friends, oh, pastor, I have a lot of friends. Be careful. Because you can't tell who your friends are until you have nothing to offer, or you seemingly have nothing to offer. You know, because the mistake human beings make is that they write people off thinking they have nothing to offer, but there's no one that is on this earth that has nothing to offer. That's for starters. Taking it further, when you are immobile, the people that stand with you are your real friends. They're your real friends. This man was immobile. He was immobile. His mobility was zero. Was zero. Most people would abandon him, but not these guys. Not these guys. You need guys like this in your life that will stand with you through seasons. And converse is also the case. You have to be such a guy. You have to be such a guy that stands with friends even when they are immobile. So this man had real friends. Again, I pray that heaven will bless you with real friends in the name of Jesus. From verse 18, it says, some men, these are his friends, they took this man, a man who was not able to move. Movement zero. Everyone that is spiritually unable to move, your movement is restored in the name of Jesus. Everyone that is mentally immobile, your mental mobility is restored in the name of Jesus. Everyone that is struggling physical movement, the physical movement is restored in the name of Jesus. Unable to move his body to Jesus, he was carried on a bed. They looked for a way to take the man into the house where Jesus was. They had good intentions. They looked for a way. They carried this man. Only God knows for how long, the distance they traveled. It says, but they could not find a way to take him in because of so many people. I mean, these guys could have turned back. Oh, you see, we tried. We came here. We could not even enter. Excuses don't make miracles. Stop making excuses. You came, the place was full, you cannot find a way, and you turn around, you're not ready. You're not ready. You're not ready. They could not find a way to take him in because there were so many people. Guess what they did? They climbed up. They climbed up. And they made a hole in the roof over where Jesus was. Then they let the bed with the sick man on it down before Jesus. Right in front of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. God will bless you with friends like this. And God will make you a friend like this in the name of Jesus. Why? Because sacrifice is the key to friendship. Sacrifice is the key to friendship. This man sacrificed. They sacrificed. They risked so many things. Their energy, their reputation, their lives. They could have fallen off. They are carrying somebody that is obviously heavy, immobile, could not help himself. They risked being arrested. They risked everything, sacrificed for this man. God will bring people in your life that will sacrifice for you. And God will make you such a friend that sacrifices for others. And you need to take an inventory. A simple inventory is the phone inventory. Check. This person that you are always calling, every time you call them, they say, oh, I was almost calling you. Our minds are working together. I was almost calling you. But it is every time you call them that they are almost always calling you, but they never call you. I used to have a friend like that. I mean, and I sat down and I discovered that for a whole year, I'm the one that will remember this person and call this person. I said, I was thinking of you. You see, the spirit is gone. I was just thinking of him, and I didn't think anything of it. I was just saying, oh, wow, you know, you have to learn to obey the Holy Spirit more. I beat you to it this time, blah, 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 blah. And I call again. Oh, just now, now. I was just thinking of it. After a while, I just said to myself, if you don't call this person doesn't call you. There's no need. I'm busy enough. I have things I'm doing. If I'm texting you, I'm calling you, it's a sacrifice. If I'm the only one texting you, then after a while, I will text you again. There's no fire, no quarrel. But, you know. So I stopped calling this guy, this person. And for months. But if I call again, I was almost calling you. You know? So, I mean, if I want comic relief, I probably will call. But I don't have time for that right now. So, hey, you need to realize that sacrifice is the key to friendship. Now, ask yourself, why didn't the owner have an issue with them? They broke somebody's roof. They drilled. The Bible says they made a hole. Now, imagine how big that hole is. To make a hole. Hole. It means it must have been noisy. It must have been sound. Maybe a drill or hammer. Or, you know, it must have been dirty and disturbing, if you will, because gravity, if they're making a hole from the roof and they are drilling, where would all the debris fall? Fall straight down. And guess where they were making the hole on? The Bible says, over where Jesus stood. So, where was all the crap coming on Jesus? Coming on Jesus. And he didn't complain. And guess what? Why didn't the owner of the house complain? If you read this scripture in context, you will discover that was Jesus' house. Allah Nujula, Uluri Ofe. That was Jesus' house. It was a home. In fact, if you read it, a reference says that he was traveling home. That was his home. So these guys, Jesus' roof. Not just his roof. They made a hole that can take a whole human being. That they lowered down. And while they were making the hole, the debris fell on Jesus' face. Hallelujah. And the owner of the house didn't complain because Jesus was the owner of the house. He took all that mess. He took all the crap. He suffered the loss. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. Jesus, the Son of the living God. So, we see that sacrifice is at the heart of true friendship. And when we are seeking a solution, we should diligently pursue solutions, even if it means drilling through barriers. Hallelujah. So many times you are seeking a solution, you meet a barrier, you say, oh, why God? Oh, why? Why is there no space? Why are there people everywhere? I can't even get in. But the roof is there. Oh, the roof is covered. Oh, that will make a lot of noise. Oh, it will create a lot of dirt. Oh, I'm so cute. Oh, I cannot make a hole in the barrier. I go through it. Oh, I see you having the wisdom to make that hole in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So verse 20 said, now this is amazing. When Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, friend, your sins are forgiven. Jesus saw their faith and said to him, Jesus did not see his faith. Jesus saw their faith and said to him. So, what am I saying? Faith of friends can free a friend. Faith of friends can free a friend. It was the faith of the friends that Jesus saw. Not the faith of the person that needed healing. It was the faith of the people that brought the man that Jesus saw. And many times, when we stand in a gap, I mean, this is a recurrent theme. If you look at the whole restoration thing, teachings that we've been having, is a recurrent theme. Community, friendship, faith of friends, intercession. God will give you real friends. And faith of friends and free a friend. And the next thing that jumps out at us is that faith is visible. Faith is visible. Like in many other references, in verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith, faith is visible. If you engage and interact with someone that has faith, you will know it. You will know it. If you are engaging with someone that is filled with fear, you will know it. You will know it. You know, I was praying, and you know, then I joined the minister's prayer meeting at 5 a.m. Lagos on Wednesday. And you know what God was saying to me pretty clearly is that, why do people pray so much and they are still living in fear? In fact, and I felt really burdened because I know people that pray a lot, but they are fearful. In fact, it is this fear that is driving them to pray. And the more they pray, the more fearful they are. The question is, who are they praying to? Because the more you pray, the bolder you should become. Because you are exchanging your weakness for his strength. The more you stay with God, the more clarity you have, the more boldness you have. Faith is visible. I've been with people trusting God for things, you know, and the pastors, you pray with them, and you can't, the fear is palpable. And I'm encouraging, I'm like, you know, yet there are some people, you pray with them, their faith is visible. I just know that this person is going to come through. Because their faith, I can literally see it, their faith. So faith is tangible. Faith is not that mystical thing that, oh, I want to have faith, I need to build up like bravado and have bold face. You know, it's not faith. That's faking it. That's not faith. Faith is tangible. It's the evidence of the things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. Substance is tangible. Faith finds a way. You need to break forth and you have moved in different direction, and it appears as if there's a barrier, faith finds a way. Your faith will find a way in the name of Jesus. Faith finds a way. Faith finds a way. So we see that, you know, Jesus didn't just offer forgiveness. He also commanded the man to arise and walk. Jesus didn't just say, your sins are forgiven you. You know, that is the unseen part. But he said to the man, get up, take your bed, and walk. As a proof of this faith. Hallelujah. So there are implications of restored mobility, because your mobility is going to be restored today. You need to understand that it's like a total package. When mobility touches every area of your being, and when we talk about mobility, we're talking about spiritual mobility. We are talking about emotional, mental mobility. We are talking about physical mobility in the name of Jesus. Spiritual mobility, I mean, if you're still, it's as if you're spiritually paralyzed. There's no movement today. Mobility will be restored in the name of Jesus. Mental mobility, it's like you can't have mental movement, mental ideas to see through mentally a project. God will restore today mental restoration in the name of Jesus. And yet for others, it's physical. Your mobility is impaired. God will restore your physical mobility in the name of Jesus. Because man was made to move. Man was made to move. If you look at the anatomy of man was made to move. Once you are moving, you'll be all right. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. If you can't jog, like those that jog for 5 hours, but you can walk. You can walk fast for 1 hour. If you can't do that, at least you can walk slowly. Keep moving. Keep moving. And you will get movement and restoration in your life, spiritually, emotionally, physically, in the mighty name of Jesus. Because mobility is being restored, the implication of that is that you begin to experience independence and agency. You know, it's so beautiful, because the ability to move allows people to perform tasks and take care of themselves, to perform self-care, to pursue interests. People are able to control their own circumstances without relying on others. Because your mobility is being restored today, you will be able to take care of yourself without relying on others. You'll be able to pursue your interests and control your own circumstances. Because your mobility is being restored today, when mobility is being restored, there's strength and there's health. Because your mobility is being restored, you experience strength, you experience health in your spirit, in your souls, in your bodies, in the name of Jesus. Moving strengthens muscles. I mean, we all know that. Moving strengthens muscles and cardiovascular health. It strengthens your health. In fact, you know, a lot of research has shown that even mental health, emotional health, people that are going through serious depression, guess what? They tell them to go and work out. They put them on a workout. Why? Because the more they work out, the more their mental health gets better. Longevity, energy, resilience to disease, overall wellness, when movement is restored, when mobility is restored. When mobility is restored, there is exploration and discovery in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Because your mobility is restored, you are released into divine exploration and discovery. In the mighty name of Jesus, today you are released into divine exploration and discovery. Because your mobility is restored, guess what? Your self-esteem and dignity is restored. In the mighty name of Jesus. Imagine that man that could not walk, was immobile, was paralyzed. All of a sudden, boom. Immediately, his dignity is restored. When the body works properly, it instills dignity. It instills identity. It instills confidence and self-worth when mobility is restored. Because your mobility is going to be restored today. You hold your head up high in the name of Jesus. Shame will be far away from you, far away from your tabernacle in the name of Jesus. Because mobility is restored to you today, there's purpose and there's productivity in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, movement empowers people to pursue a purpose. Through work, through expression of creativity and talent, through living independent lives, people are able to pursue their dreams. The movement and mobility you need to pursue your dreams, heaven restore to you in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, sometimes for some people, what you need is financial ability. It's called currency for it to flow in your direction through your hand in the name of Jesus. Your mobility is being restored, and because your mobility is restored, you begin to take territories in the name of Jesus. You can't take territory being immobile. You can't take territory being crippled and immobile and paralyzed. You need to be mobile to take territories. And because you're going to take territories for Jesus, you're going to take industries for Jesus. You're going to take nations for Jesus. You're going to take territories for Jesus. You're going to take ideating territories, ideas. You're going to take productivity for Jesus. You're going to take industries for Jesus. You're going to take nations for Jesus. You're going to be mobile. Your mobility is going to be restored in the name of Jesus. Did you know that boundaries are what has been instituted to restrict people's mobility? Did you know that boundaries are man-made? These are man-made. That's why, if you understand how this thing works, there will be no country on earth that you will not have access to, that you will not be able to enter. No country on earth will be able to stop you. Why? Because Tioluwa Nile Atiekure. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Boundaries that are made by men are to be respected, right? Because people have settled in that region, put up boundaries and all that, right from the days of our forefathers. But guess what? No country will be able to stop you in the name of Jesus. Why? Because your mobility is restored. Your mobility is restored. Ah! Hallelujah. If you understand these things, you realize that you are being transformed from where you are to where God wants you to be. You are moving in the direction that God wants you to be. And as you are moving in the direction of what God wants you to be, everything begins to fall off. Everything begins to fall off. The things that have held you begin to lose their grips. Now, listen. I'm praying for you. I'm praying that in spite of the economy of the nation, a lot is going on in the nation, not only in Nigeria, in the nations of the world. In spite of the challenge, God will preserve you. God will preserve you. God will uphold you. God will teach you in the way that you should go. You will not be grounded with currency. Currency will flow in your direction. It will flow in your favor. Movement of people in your favor to help is happening. In the mighty name of Jesus. I want to pray with you if you're here. You're like, Pastor, I need to move towards God. The Bible says that you should draw near unto God and He will draw near unto you. You're like, Pastor, I need to be drawn to God. I need to move in God's direction. I'm not saved. I want to come to Jesus. Wherever you are, turn it over to the RP now.
Father, we thank you. We are grateful. Thank you for your word from your son that has gone forth today. Thank you for everyone that has heard your word. And above all, we thank you for those that have received your word and have decided to take action. By first and foremost, releasing and committing themselves to you. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus, as they have drawn near to you, Lord, draw near to them. Your word says no one comes to the Father except the Father draws them near. These ones, Lord, draw them near to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, from today, Lord, let their lives be transformed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Today, Father, because they have given their lives to you, let them experience you like never before. In the mighty name of Jesus. And for every one of us, even under the sound of my voice, everyone that has heard this message today, let these words be applicable in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, let us experience restoration in mobility. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. We give you praise and glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.